final episode of 2023.
We are here. We are back. We are finishing the year strong.
Strong.
Strong, Patty.
So this is going to be a slightly different episode, and it might even be slightly shorter because we decided to trial something.
We did.
For this episode. And for those of you that don't know, on Instagram now you can put a link up, which is to a website called Not Gonna Lie. Mm-hmm. And it essentially means people can send you anything they want completely anonymously.
Brilliant.
One of the ones that somebody sent me yesterday said, why don't you ever reply to me? And I was like, well, this isn't going to work, mate, because whoever this is,
yeah,
I have no idea who you are. So how can I reply?
If you want me to reply, you need to just slide in and make it clear this is who
you
are.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had loads. I mean, we've had so many, not going to lie.
I can't believe that we got so many.
Honestly, some of them are absolutely cracking. Some of them are really serious. And just as a, you know, caveat at the start of this episode, we're not professionals. Mm-hmm. This is just all our own advice.
Yeah.
We're just gonna talk about the things that you've sent in to us mm-hmm. in our own words, in the way that we think and feel. But you must always seek professional opinions or mm-hmm. really think carefully about your own circumstances and situations before you take any of our advice on board. It really is just a chat between two sisters about what we may or may not do.
Yeah.
But the first few that we got in, there was quite a lot of them about James. Now, I know we sort of shy away from talking about James too much on the podcast, mm-hmm. but I kind of feel like if you're going to put up a Not Gonna Lie box.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to go with what people send in.
Exactly.
So we had a few about this on the same sort of vein, like, are you jealous of James's success? Which I thought was an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And obviously one that people have perhaps felt unable to ask when we have known who is asking it. So first question being, mm-hmm. have you ever felt jealous of James's success?
No. I've never felt jealous of his success.
Yes,
at
I don't
all.
Think I've ever felt jealous. Envious, maybe, which is, for those of you that don't know the difference between jealousy and envy. Envy is like, I would like to have
you
it and I'd feel like you to have it as well. Yeah. Jealousy is like, I don't want you to have this and I want it. Mm. So I don't think I've ever felt jealous. I think there's been points where he's experienced things where I've been like, oh my God,
I'd love to experience that.
Or I would love to have time with that person in the same context that he has. Like, I think when you meet like famous people in inverted commas, it's very different to actually being like a colleague. And James has been in situations with very, very, very well-known people as sort of like a peer and a colleague. And there have been points where I've been like, oh my God, I wonder what it was like to have a bath with David Beckham. Do you know what I mean? Like, to get David Beckham in that place where he is being silly about himself. And I think because of the persona that Posh and Becks had for so long, and obviously the Netflix documentary has changed a lot of that for people, and they have become more open about their relationship and their life.
Yeah.
But there was a point where James was sort of showing Bex in a very different light.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, what would that be like to experience that with David Beckham?
I think the thing is, I think because of our relationship with him, and because actually there's a whole other side of being, in inverted commas, famous or, you know, celebrity or well-known or successful or however you want to kind of word it. I think the thing that's always like made me feel not jealous is because I'm very aware of the flip side of that.
Yeah.
You kind of always have to remember with anyone in the public eye that you are only seeing, and I suppose it applies to everybody really, you are only seeing a snippet of someone's life.
Absolutely,
you quite often only seeing the highlight, you're only seeing the good parts, you don't see the opposite side of those things. And I think for James, there have been some really awful times for him. And quite often people don't see that, or if they do see it, they're very quick to judge, very quick to kind of, you know, have their opinion. And so I suppose that's always for me why I've not felt jealous, is because there is that other side of life. And I, for all the money in the world, I don't know whether I would choose it. I don't know whether I would want that for myself. You know, we have a famous brother. So we are very aware of everything that comes with that world. Mm. And obviously for lots of people, you don't have that access. You're not aware of it. And it does kind of change how you view it.
I suppose one of the things that I would say that I'm maybe envious of, or that I wish I could do more of, is the way that, I suppose, with money comes an awful lot of patois, and that's not what I want at all. But being able to treat people.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just being like it getting to the stage where you're like, oh, you need that? Okay, here's some money, go and get it. Or like, oh, you're struggling financially. Like, just that ability. And that isn't necessarily about his fame. I mean, lots and lots of people who aren't famous are way wealthier than James, you know, have way more money than he does. Mm. And I suppose for me, it's not necessarily the fame side of his life that I feel envious of. Although there are things that he's done where I've been like, oh my God, like flying a plane with Tom Cruise. I mean, that is like, that's a really cool thing to say you've done in your life, isn't it? Like sitting with Tom Cruise in a plane while he does a loop the loop. Like, and there's things like that I look at, like the carpools he's done, like Bruno Mars. Oh my God. Like, that would have been amazing to be sat in a car with Bruno Mars singing all of those songs. And there's, you know, there's things like that where I'm like, wow, that's the Paul McCartney one, all of those. But I think for me, like, the ability to be able to just help people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And have money that is no object.
Yeah.
That you can just be like, oh yeah, I can do that, or I can help out, or I can do that. And that's always been, you know, James has always been incredibly generous, and that has always been his disposition. Yeah. And I suppose there is aspects of his life that I'm like, God, I'd love to experience that. But I've never felt jealous or been like, because also I think what's really great about our parents is that they have said we've all been successful.
Yes.
So this question, have you ever been jealous of James's success?
Yeah.
I haven't needed to, because I felt like I've got parents that are proud of me for the things that I've achieved in my life.
Well, and I suppose as well, it's like success is, you know, it's very different for lots of people, isn't it? And I think it's very easy to look at people in the public eye and go, wow, you're really successful. But actually, you know, people are successful in so many different ways. Yeah. And I think it shouldn't be measured on, money and fame and, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's got to be a personal thing for you. And if you feel like you have succeeded in your life, whatever that looks like, then you are successful in it. And I think we've always been very much supportive. So anytime he's done any of those things, I just feel proud.
Oh,
I feel
you know, I'm like,
that's amazing. That's you've amazing. Done that.
Yeah,
like, you killed it. It was brilliant. Mm. And I love the fact that I think I get, it's the enjoyment of seeing him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think I get.
I think when you've grown up with somebody who has been so desperate to be a successful actor or to be taken seriously in that realm. And I think the other thing that people forget is that we as a family watch James slog.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll never forget, he spoke about this recently in an interview. He'd been for an audition for The Sound of Music, and James auditioned for every boy part in that musical. It was like, he went for every single boy, and he was too tall, not tall enough, too fat, not big enough, you know, his eyes were slightly the wrong colour blue. Like, you name it, he got rejection from it. And him and Dad were driving back down the A40 out of London, back to our house. And there's a, on the left-hand side, there's a diner called Ed's Diner. And James remembers they were going past that point, and James had hardly spoken a word. And he was really deflated. This was like the 7th or 8th audition he'd gone for The Sound of Music. And he was told yet again, you just are not quite right. And he'd got down to the last three boys. And as they passed this diner, Dad turned to him and said, James, don't you think you need to give this up now? Like, this is really affecting you. And he just said to Dad, but I can't, Dad. I
can't do anything else.
I don't want to do anything else. I can't. I can't give this up.
Mm.
And yes, obviously, James' success came, you know, he got Fat Friends, and from Fat Friends, he met Ruth Jones, and he did the History Boys. And then obviously, Gavin and Stacey was, but there are years before that we watched James slog his guts out. go to every audition, take any job he could, be in a job that he didn't really want, like working in Bella Pasta, waiting for the next thing. Like, it's not just overnight success. So I think when you've watched a sibling do that in any career, whether that's I really want to be a doctor, or I really want to be a banker, or I really want to be a producer, or when you've watched a family member work so hard to get what they want, you can't help but go, oh my God,
amazing.
This is amazing because you have landed exactly what you wanted to, and that's so cool for you, and I'm so happy for you. So I think that's the other side that people don't realise, is how much we watch James just work really hard for it. I've got another question which is sort of James related, but it does include us two as well.
Okay.
Who would be the best in bed out of the three of you? Me.
Well, me.
No. And you're so vanilla. In last week's episode, you were like, oh, do people actually change the settings on Love Eggs for somebody else?
Right. Just hang on a minute. Just because you might not be into Love Eggs and shit and being tied up and shit doesn't mean you're not good.
Just because you're not into Love Eggs and shit.
Well, I think people think, oh yeah, well, to be good in bed, you've got to be chained up, you've got to be whipped, you've got to be blindfolded.
No, chained up or whipped.
Well, that's what you're implying.
Why do you think you would be the best then?
One, I think I'm actually very good at kissing. I don't know why I think that, I just think I am.
Do you?
Yeah,
why do you think you're so good? Like, what is your technique?
Well, I think, you know, just, you've got to take it slow. It's got to be a slow burn.
Slow and low.
Slow and low. Just a nice bit of... just a nice bit of sort of lip action, just a gentle, and then you just slide the tongue in, just a little bit.
Wow! If you think you've tuned into the wrong podcast, this still is Finding the Funny. I promise.
This is Finding the Sexy.
Why do you think you'd be better in bed than me?
Because you're into weird shit.
I'm not. What? Because I've talked about Love Eggs.
Like you said, you're vanilla, Ange. You don't like Love Eggs and shit, and that would imply you do. You like the Love Eggs and shit.
Why do you think you'd be better than me?
I think I'm probably more agile.
That's not true.
Okay, fine. What? So you're giving it all legs akimbo?
Legs akimbo.
Legs akimbo. Bend me over.
I think what we'd say is we'd both be better than James.
100%.
100%. Although I think James probably is quite good in the sack.
I think he is quite a good lover.
Yeah, quite a generous lover, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very sensual.
Very
sensual. Vibe. Very,
very sensual, yes.
But no, I mean, ultimately it's me. So there we go. Yeah.
One of the other, this isn't a question. This is just something that I thought somebody shared with us anonymously. It says this. Sometimes I wee in the bath, even when my husband has asked me to leave the water in for him to get in afterwards.
That is brilliant. I love that.
I just thought that was the most honest confession. I also love the fact that that person is like, right, this is anonymous.
Yeah, I can share
tell
this
them
now.
I wee in the bath. somebody just put in the box, I've always fancied you.
Is that so, you?
Yeah, thank you. We had lots of ones like this. This person just said, love everything you ladies have done. It's the highlight of my week. I moved my food shop to a Wednesday so I can laugh and snack my way through putting the food shop away. Mostly love the general chit-chat about nothing in particular and laughing along with you both. You really, really are hilarious.
Oh,
which
I love
thought was
that.
Lovely. Yeah.
I love that she's moved her shop to a Wednesday.
Me too. That was the thing that I laughed as well. I was like, yes, you do your big shop on a Wednesday now because of us. Yes, get in.
What we need you people to do is to start telling other people to move their shops.
Yes.
And listen on a Wednesday.
Listen, 2024, we need you to spread the Finding the Funny word.
We do.
So anyone you can tell about us, we would absolutely love to start the year off with really, really good numbers and for that to consistently continue. Yeah. And so, you know, if you love us and you think our podcast is great, firstly, thank you for that. But secondly, tell your mates.
Tell the world to move their shopping days.
One of the things that I that came in was, just said, Ruth, are you completely comfortable / happy with being child free? And okay. I suppose, Ange, I would ask you what you think about that. Because as somebody who has journeyed this with me
mm-hmm.
closely,
yeah.
do you think, can you see that I am in a different place?
100%. And I'm sure, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't have days and times
mm-hmm. yeah.
where you feel it more. And
yeah.
and I'm kind of thinking probably this time of year
yeah.
might be one of those, and yeah. you know, around those other points in the year where it kind of just hits you a bit more in the face.
Yeah.
But I definitely see and know that you are at peace with where life has taken you.
Yeah.
And I find it, and I find you amazing.
Oh.
That you. I'm getting emotional.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, bloody hell, are you feeling all right?
I think I'm quite hormonal.
You must be.
But honestly, I do. I think other people that know you, and even people that don't maybe know you but listen to you on here and in other ways, I think the fact that you have managed this and have gone through the years of heartache that you have, and it, you know, it hasn't got you what you ultimately wanted.
Yeah.
But you are at a place where you are happy and you are at peace and you are okay with how life is for you, and it will never cease to amaze me that you've done that. And and I think the way that I know that you have been able to help other people by sharing that and being open, and I think, do you know what, I think it's so easy to look at the social media world in a negative way. It's so easy. People are so quick to make those judgments, to kind of say how awful it is and how bad it is, and people are horrible. But you know what? There is a lot of really good, positive, kind, helpful stuff that people put out there. And you have been and are one of those people that has been able to really help people that are on that same journey as you. To show that actually, do you know what? This isn't what I thought my life was going to look like. This isn't what I hoped would be for me. But I have worked through that, and I've worked on myself, and I've worked with Marty, and we've done the stuff to get us to a place where we are at peace. And I think that is just incredible.
So there you go. To somebody who is really close to me and has seen and walked this with me for years and years and years. And I just think this question comes up a lot for me. And I think partly that is because lots of women especially are like, how do you get there? And how did you get to this stage? And I can never really answer that question because it's different for everybody. But I also think there's this sense in society that people still think women who don't have children can't be fully fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think this notion that you can find a peace really with your relationships. And, you know, look, last Christmas, there was a point last Christmas where I got really sad when everybody got together to have a picture with Father Christmas. It was Father Christmas and all of the grandchildren, and Mum and Dad were sort of in the middle. And I took myself and I cried because I was like, I don't know what it's like to give my parents grandchildren. And I know that it's the thing in their life that brings them the most amount of joy. And I know how much they love them. But similarly, I've also got a family that are very sensitive to it. And I know that they've just never made it a thing. It's just like, you're still a part of our family and you've got as much to bring to this space as anybody else. And, you know, we love you. And so I think, I have times where I'm like, this is shit. And I know that I would love to have a kid to be putting to bed on Christmas Eve. And I'd love to have our own magical Christmas traditions that we do in our family, you know. But I also think I have been really fortunate that I have got siblings that have been incredibly generous with their nieces and nephews to me, and that and the closeness that I have with them now, and you know, they're all getting older, and the conversations I can have with them and the support I can give them, I know that that's important to my nieces and nephews too. And I think that is also something that is really, really precious to me. So yeah.
Joel said, because you obviously stayed at mine last week,
yes,
because we were going up doing our fancy Harrods, darling.
Yeah.
And Joel, bless him, he said to me, I loved it when Patty was here.
Yeah.
The relationship you have, you know, obviously with my own two, but I see it with James's as well, is such a precious relationship to them. Like they love, and for Joel as well, you know, Joel's a 20-year-old man, you know, but he was just like, oh, I loved it when Patty was here.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to come and stay again?
Yeah.
I was like, well, she's welcome to come and stay anytime. But I just thought it was so love, and that ultimately that speaks volumes about who you are to them and the relationships you have with them and the importance that you hold in their lives.
Yeah.
And I just think that says it all, really.
So yes, I am comfortable and happy being child free, and I would have said childless a few months ago, but I would definitely now see a freedom in it. One of the dilemmas that we had in, which I thought was a really interesting one that I thought we could talk about, was I'm a woman who has always fancied women more than men, but I'm worried about people not knowing how to be with me if I'm more open about it, or if people will dismiss it as just a phase, which I thought was a really interesting dilemma. So this is a woman who has always fancied women more than men. I assume by the sounds of it, this woman has been with men because she's saying, I'm worried about people not knowing how to be with me. So obviously if they came out, they're worried about the change in the dynamic.
But
also they go on to then say, I'm worried about people dismissing it as just a phase and sort of saying, oh, it's because you've had, I don't know, difficult male relationships or whatever.
Yes.
So, I think to this one, it's the most important, like, life is short, right? And the most important thing is for you to be happy.
Yes.
And even if this is a phase, who cares?
Yeah. Enjoy, like, the phase, if that's what it is. And if it's not, enjoy that.
If you go into a relationship with a woman and people around you are like, oh, this is just a phase.
Yeah.
And they don't take it seriously. What's it to them? If you love that person.
Yeah.
And you're sexually attracted to that person.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, the opportunity to be with somebody that makes you happy. And also, I think the thing is, I mean, I would assume, I don't know, but if this person has always felt attracted to women but has been with men, you surely want to test out a relationship with a woman at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, if this is something you've always felt and you've never been able to kind of investigate that or explore that, then that would definitely be my first advice to you is well, firstly, like you said, Paz, who cares what anyone else thinks?
Yeah.
And the second thing I would say is, if this is something that you have always felt, then definitely explore it and see, because it might be that you explore it and go, actually, I don't think it is for me.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is that I like both. I like men and women, and that is also absolutely fine. And
absolutely,
what you choose to do with your life and who you choose to spend that with and spend time with and love and be happy with is completely and utterly up to you.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't worry about what anyone else might think about it.
And I know that, you know, for some people coming out is dangerous, and that can't, you know, that there is a caveat here that for some people within certain families, or, you know, you're not always going to have the support of those people that you think you should. But if it's safe for you and you're not saying that you think anybody's going to be angry with the fact that you're with a woman, or is that your life is going to become any worse, you know, I think if it's a case of your nearest and dearest going, oh, this is a phase, then let them say it. Like, who cares if it is a phase? Like,
exactly.
If you've been with men for the majority of your life, but now you want to explore having a proper relationship with a woman, then that is absolutely down to you.
100%.
And it's nobody else's business, really.
No, Yeah.
Just... Right, the next question is quite a lighthearted one, Angie, and it's specifically for you.
Oh, God.
Angie, I'm a little bit cross about this.
Oh, no.
When is Autumn Winter Watch Live going to return to your stories? Which yeah, I knew bad. You would love and find hilarious. Somebody is annoyed because they've stopped. When are they coming back?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think anyone really gave a shit, but obviously one person does.
Exactly.
One person has been disappointed by my lack of Autumn Winter Watch. And I apologise to whoever you are. I'm very sorry. I didn't think anyone was that bothered.
Well, this person is like, what the hell? Where have you been?
Right. I will correct that.
Thank you. Okay.
Whoever you are, I will correct it and I will bring you some autumn winter footage.
Thank you. We want an autumn winter live. They're very specific. They want a live. They don't just want stories.
Right.
They want to go back to the days of you looking at like a tree and being like, now, what have we got in here? Have we got any birds? Have we... Oh, look, guys, right, I've just found a sprouting daffodil. Like, spring is upon us. They want that shit. They want that back.
Okay.
So they're specific about the live, the not just stories. Okay, they want fine. An autumn, winter live.
Okay. Coming to your screens shortly.
And then the last couple that we had, which I thought we'd end on, because, you know, this is the final episode before the Christmas spirit begins.
Yes.
So a couple of questions we had in. What are your favourite Christmas traditions?
Oh, okay. Well, straight to the top of my mind, my Christmas ham.
Christmas ham. But Christmas for me, and we have talked about this before, early years ago.
Yeah.
But for me, the tradition that we have in our family is you open your presents one by one.
That's true. Yeah, we do a round
and
robin.
And lots of people do a free for all.
Yeah.
Now, this Chrismoys, people have asked what we're doing Chrismoys. So this Chrismoys, we're all together as a family, like all... million of us on Boxing Day. So Christmas Day, and just assume you've got your in-laws.
We've got in-laws and wider familials.
So they're doing stuff with her in-laws and family. And on Christmas Day, Matthew and I have got Mum and Dad here.
Mal and Margs.
So we've got a small little Christmas Day, the four of us. But I know that we will exchange gifts when it's just the four of us on Christmas Day and we will go round.
Exactly. You cannot deviate from that.
No. And I think there are some families that are like, just open a present. Off you go. Open a present. Yeah. Oh, thanks for this. Thanks, Chris. Love this. That's not the way. And if I had have had kids, just to throw it back to earlier on in the episode, that would very much have been our
continued.
Tradition.
Yes.
The
absolutely.
Other thing that I ended up talking about, I think this was with Cassie or was it with Mina Michelle? I can't remember. I had this conversation with somebody a few weeks ago that in our house, you took it in turns to get the big present.
Yes. That was a big part of our Christmases.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's your turn, you can ask for a bike or a PlayStation or whatever it might, you know, a Nintendo 64, whatever it was back then.
Yeah.
If it's not your turn to get the big gift, you have to be celebratory of your siblings getting the big gift. And you will get like a stocking and a few little bits and maybe some clothes or something like that. But we didn't get a big gift every year.
Every year. It was one in three.
One in three.
Yeah. And actually, do you know what? I love that.
Me too.
I love that that's how Christmas was for us.
And I also love the fact that it instilled in us, and maybe this goes back to a little bit like we talked about at the beginning, that we're happy for each other.
Yeah.
Because I think it did instill it in us.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the year I got my bike, you and James were so excited. Like, it was just outside on the garden and somebody said, oh, Rudy, go and look outside. And it was there. And I remember when I got that and you two were so happy for me that I'd got this bike.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I think there's this, like, it instills in you to be really happy. Yeah. And although it might not be your year to get the big present that you open, like, it's okay to go, oh, that's amazing that you got that bike. So that was a very clear tradition in our house.
Yeah, definitely.
You took it in turns to get the big present.
Yeah.
I loved that too. Lovely. And then the other Christmas thing was, other than Christmas pudding, what would be your favourite Christmas dessert?
Oh, okay.
Because I would always go Christmas pudding.
Always Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
First of all, that's what goes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to put in there? And
what?
This is a major throwback.
What?
Viennetta. I mean, a Viennetta.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually.
That was a staple in our youth, in our younger days, wasn't it? A Viennetta. Christmas,
but Sunday lunch.
Sunday lunch,
Sunday lunch, there'd always be a choice of either like a strudel. Mum loved a strudel, didn't
strudel,
she?
Strudels.
Or a pie or a crumble. And then the second choice is likely to be a Viennetta.
Your Viennetta, yeah. And I would definitely go with that.
Do you know now that Aldi and or Lidl, I don't know which one it is, they do mini Viennettas on a stick?
What the hell?
Yeah. So it's like a tiny little Viennetta with all of the chocolate like waves and stuff in it. But as a mini ice cream, they're amazing. They've got the chocolate on the top as well, the dark, thick chocolate on the top. They're amazing.
Oh, I would definitely be going for one of those.
Yeah, you would love one of those.
And I used to eat it in a way where I would kind of like take I would sort of divide it where the chocolate is, and I'd eat the ice cream. I'd have then a little sort of pile of chocolate that I'd then eat at the end.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I'd go, put a Viennetta in there, mate.
I quite like a profiterole.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah.
I think after a Christmas dinner, a profiterole is quite an exquisite.
Also, the other thing, which is always going to be there for me, your cheese board.
Always a cheesy board for Andy.
Always a cheesy board
for me. And that does come in for me on Christmas Day, but it's at the Christmas Day buffet.
It's your tea time snack, isn't it? It's your buffet. Yeah, yeah.
There wraps up 2023.
That was such a great ep, that.
Yeah, really good.
I love that.
Yeah,
I
we should do
questions.
That more often.
We should. Let's do some more of the old NGLs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope you all have a restful, peaceful time. If you celebrate Christmas, we hope you have the happiest of Christmases. If you don't celebrate Christmas, we hope you just enjoy the kind of downtime and the rush of life being slower. Mm. We know that Christmas isn't always a really happy time for people. And so we just say from everyone at Finding the Funny, we hope that you just find some peace and rest over this season that is right upon us.
We do.
We are so grateful that you've continued to listen to us for the last year. And we really hope that you come back in 24, but that you bring a whole gang of mates with you in 24.
Yes.
So if you haven't ever told anybody about Finding the Funny, we would really ask that you would tell your mates, tell your family over Christmas dinner, tell them what you love about the podcast, tell them why it's your favourite, get them listening.
And let's hope that we can do some more, you know, the old lives.
We will be doing
lives.
Come
on, gang. We need you
doing lives
to come along with us for the ride in 24.
Remember, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can still get in touch with us even though we're taking a break. You can find Ange and I on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. Ange and I are taking a bit of a Christmas break, but we will be back with our first episode of 2024 on the 10th of January, helping you to find more of the funny.